Hey, this is Jason Robinson, the pastor of Church of the King, and I'm so pumped up that you're hanging out with us with our podcast today. I pray that God really speaks to you and that you're encouraged and inspired to live your life with everything you have for Him. Hey, I want to encourage you to check us out over at cotk.org. You can go there and learn all kinds of things about us and when our service times are. And speaking of our service times, I would love to invite you so that I could actually meet you personally on one of our weekend services. I promise you, your kids will love it. You'll have a great time and you'll have a blast. I pray today that God speaks to you through this word. God bless you.
All right. Well, good morning to everyone that's here today. And if you came in a little late, my name's Pastor Jason. I am the pastor here at the church and excited to be with all of you. Excited on this beautiful weekend that God gave us here. And so we're going to have a good time today. Y'all ready? Have a good time? Say, I'm ready. All right, if you have your Bible, if you'd open up to Acts chapter 2, we're going to go through verse 42 through 47. Before we give that, I want to give a little bit of update. Excited about a lot going on here at our church. This was the second week that we now have our Saturday night service, and we're pretty fired up about it. It has actually did exactly what we were hoping for. We still had a full house last night in here, and one of the good things what we needed is to spread it out a little bit, and that's helping. Like, it's really helped spread things out. How many of y'all tell me, was it easier to park than it's been in the back? Okay, please say yes in Jesus' name. All right, thank you, Lord. All right, it's not working, Pastor. Okay, that would be not what we hope to hear here. So it's helped a lot. And hopefully we're noticing as well people hanging out a little bit more after service and stuff because they don't feel so rushed. And so that's what we were hoping were happening. So grateful to it. Also, hey, if it's still a little busy for you, still a little claustrophobic to you, there's an 8 o'clock service that Jesus loves, like, greatly. And so also that, seriously, more chill, it would probably be 8 or Saturday night as well. But either way, we're excited to have you and excited about all that's happening. We are finishing up a series on relationships that we've done over this whole month. It's the final one this week. Then we're kicking off a new series next week that we're calling The Names of God, where we're going to talk about Jehovah Jireh, which is my provider. Jehovah Sitkenu, our righteous. He is our righteousness. Jehovah Shalom, God is our peace. And it's going to lead all the way into Easter, where we're going to talk about the name above all names, talking about Jesus. This week, you'll start to hear about the times that we have on our Saturday night, our Sunday morning. We're actually doing this year for the first time a Sunday sunrise, an Easter sunrise service that's early, early in the morning. So if you really like it early, and I doubt it's most of you because you're at the 11:15 service. But if you are inspired all of a sudden, all right, we will have that. We'll have a whole setup for that. It's going to be a great, great, great time. So I want to talk to you today about something. We're going to jump into the scripture in a moment. I titled the message today, I Am Lonely. Relationships. What I do with my relationships, I'm lonely. Last week, we talked about I am offended. Weeks before that, we talked about how we need relationships, and we talked about communication. This week, we're going to talk about I am lonely. Acts chapter 2, so here's kind of the buildup. Jesus dies on a cross, and he's risen from the grave, and now he's amongst his disciples, and he ascends into heaven. As he's ascending into heaven, he tells them, hey, stay here. Do not leave here till you're filled with the power of the Holy Spirit. We get into the Acts chapter 1, and sure enough, on the day of Pentecost, the Holy Spirit comes, and the Bible talks about how it was like a violent wind that rushed through there, and that flames of fire, it looked like tongues of fire rested over people's head. And the Bible says it was such a powerful moment that all of the disciples and those that were there, they began to speak in what seemed like to be another tongue, another language. It was so powerful, so supernatural, that when people heard it from all over town, they started to crowd around to find out what's going on here. It was interesting to them because they knew it was supernatural, and they heard them speak in another language, but they recognized it because they said, it sounds like my dialect, you hear. And as people gathered around, Peter, one of the disciples, stood up, and he came forth, and he shared a gospel. And thousands of people came to Christ in that moment, and boom, the church is born. The church is born, and it grew, and it's still, 2,000 years later, still growing today. The church, his church, not our church. And all you might see church names on the corner, but let's never get it mistaken. It's all his, all right? It's all his church. We may have different flavors, different expressions, but they're his. It's his church. And now, how could something like this year after year, decade after decade, generation after generation, keep growing. This what we're about to read right now gives a little snapshot of a couple simple things that they did then and we're still doing now. And this is the thing that, it was the anchor that helped us to continue to grow. Verse 42. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. They sold property, possessions to give to anyone who had need. Every day, they continued to meet in the temple courts, and they broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts. Well, here we go. You've seen it right now. They met in the temple courts, and then they had food, and they had met together in homes. Come on, see what we're talking about right here? They came to church, everybody together, and then they got in small groups. All right, y'all see where we're going with this, right? They came to the gathering, but then they found smaller environments to make friends and to connect with people to do life with. There's something powerful about the gathering. Like, there are some movements out there that are trying to get away from the big gathering. They're like, hey, we'll do those small things over here. That's fine, I guess. I mean, they love God, so whatever they want to do. But there's something powerful about when we come together. I don't know about you, but when I sing that last song we sang by my house, at the house by myself, it's not as powerful. It's when we all come together and you hear everybody's voices just worshiping God together. It's powerful, man. There's a powerful anointing about something when we corporately come together and worship God. But as great as that is, if we just stay there, it's not enough. There's something about getting connected to people to do life together with others, to do life with people and to kind of go through this. When it's all going down, somebody's there with you. And that's what we see happens here. And then what does it say at the very end? The last verse of this chapter, and the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. And he's still adding those who are being saved. And so I titled the message, I Am Lonely. Here would be a sub question that goes with it. And we're really going to drill down on real practical today, this how do I make friends? Now, there's an interesting thing. Let me just kind of say this. Someone came to Jesus once and asked, hey, what were the most important commandments? And Jesus said, well, love the Lord God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. He said, and the other one is like it, love your neighbor as yourself. So see what he was saying. Love the Lord God with all your heart, soul, mind. Love your neighbor as yourself. So often whenever we do a series or whenever I'm preaching practically, I'm thinking of, okay, God, how do we connect with you? How do we connect with you? What connects us to you? But then how do we connect to one another? If we just do one all the time, but then we never learn how to connect with one another, we'll fall short. If all we do is ever talk about how to connect with the other, then we're just one big self-help program. No, there's something bigger than that, you know? It's God got to connect to it. And so this series has been very much like this. Don't worry, next series will go like this. And it may almost feel a little not super spiritual. Oh, but it is. It's very, very spiritual. Because God said, he set this whole thing up for us. Today, the message that I have for us is really, it's significant and it's specific. Let me tell you what I mean by that. I mean, the message today is kind of like, this is the best way I can say it. It's kind of like we're having a family talk. Come on, everybody get around the sofa. We got to talk about a few things, okay? And from the person all the way out there in the overflow corner to someone all the way up here, I'm really, to this today, I don't do this all the time, but today I'm talking to us in this room. Why I say that? Because I want to look online for a moment as well and look at everybody's watching online. We have people watch us from all over. We have a lot of students that go off to college and they're trying to find a place to connect. But in the meantime, they come back and check out their home. Hey, we love you, praying for you, but you need to find a local expression. Do the best you can to find it, okay? And then we have others who've been transferred. We have people that, we have a family every week watch us from Saudi Arabia. They got transferred and they watch us from there. We got people from Canada and people from Europe and people from Mexico City, all that watch us. And hey, be blessed by it, all that. But if some of this, and hopefully it'll connect with you, but I'm specifically talking to people in the house today, okay? And maybe you're watching at a ball field. If you go to this church, I'm talking to us today in particular. And I want to help us to stay on the mark of what God's called us to be. Would you pray with me as we get started? Father, thank you for this day. Thank you for all you're doing. Bless this time. Help me to share the words you would have me share in this moment. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So I like to use this illustration a lot when it comes to building relationships and having friends. I was a youth pastor for a long time, a couple decades, and loved it. And I thought when I would become a senior pastor with adults, I'm like, man, I'm about to deal with a whole new set of issues. And I learned something. You know what adults are? Older teenagers. That's what I've learned. Some of the same things I deal with all the time and some of the same things, it just got a little more complex. They just got a few more things that are involved. But we all basically deal with some of the same stuff. And one of the things we deal with specifically in this community is, can I connect with others? How do I make friendships? How do I get connected? That's a very unique challenge in our community that's not everywhere else. And I'll tell you why. Thousands of people are moving in all the time and people are moving out. If you don't believe me, just wait about a month and you see the houses that go for sale around that time in May because they're being transferred and people are moving from all over, East Coast, West Coast. We have people from all over the globe, not just America, the globe, that go to our church. And different people that come in. And when they come in, it's like, okay, well, I left everything that I knew and my only connection is kind of the people underneath my roof. And you have all of this that's going on. And so it's a unique opportunity and yet a unique challenge for us. And sometimes it can be hard with friendships. It reminds me often of a junior high dance. You ever been to a junior high dance before? You didn't miss nothing, trust me. Now, I don't know how junior high dances are now, but back in 1994, back then, let me tell you how it went, all right? You'd go to the gym, right? The junior high gym. It'd be some sort of decorated, whatever you want to call that. That means like turn half the lights off, you know, and put a balloon somewhere. That's how it's set up. And on one side would be all the guys. And on the other side would be all the girls. And they would be on each side. And the party and music would start and everybody's kind of over here and they're kind of talking to one another. And then every once in a while, some brave soul on the guy's side would be talked into, hey, go ask so-and-so if they want to dance. And then, oh, okay. And then this guy, you would see him all of a sudden start walking across the gym. And as he's walking across the gym, the place stops. It's like, oh, look at him. He's going for it. And then all the girls on the other side, they see a guy coming. Is he coming to talk to you? Is he coming to me? Is he coming to talk to? And the guy will go all the way, and everybody's watching to see what might happen. And they ask, hey, would you like to dance with me? And God helped that poor boy's soul if they said no. Because then he has to turn around and go on the walk of shame all the way back. And sometimes, as funny as that might seem, you know, it's not that far removed from adults. We've just made it a little bit more sophisticated. That's what we've done. Are you willing to go across the gym to see about, hey man, build a new relationship, make a new connection? How do we do this thing called friendships and relationships? And this message has been interesting because over the weekend, you guys are the last service, some of the feedback I've had, some of the people I've talked to along the way, they've talked about these things being so challenging for many of them. Now, let me say this, our church does a great job. I've heard over and over since the moment that we started, I've heard about people being friendly and people connecting and doing what they can to get you involved and all that stuff, all those things we have. But I want to just kind of refocus even more on this subject in particular. Why? Because I want you to be connected. You know what the Bible says? The Bible says God takes the lonely and he sets them in family. And a church at its worst is a gathering. Church at its best is a family. There's an epidemic out there, and you've heard about it. It's the epidemic of loneliness. It was bad before. COVID took it over the top. And now some people are trying to swing back because they realize how badly they need those relationships. The Gallup poll, one of the most prestigious polls out there that does research. I did a little research, and I want to give you from global and come all the way down to even our city. Globally, they did research and showed that globally, 52% of people on the planet Earth say they're either lonely or extremely lonely, one of the two. When you get to our country, truth is I did a lot of looking and seeing different research that was done. It was kind of all over the place, just to be honest. It was somewhere between 25, 30% and 60%, depending on which one you looked at, of people in America that say they're either lonely or extremely lonely. And now let's zoom in even a little closer into our great city of Houston. The greater area of Houston, Understanding Houston, which is a certain website article. They did an entire study throughout our whole greater Houston area, and we match the same as the world. 52% say they're either lonely or extremely lonely. Now, if you would have told me 52% when I first moved here 8.5 years ago, I would have told you, man, you're crazy. There's 8 million people here. There's so many people here. I'm sure they all have. It's easy to make friendships. Now that I've been here 8.5 years, I'll be honest, I'm surprised it's not higher as I've had relationships with others. Let me make it even super personal. I remember when my wife and I first got here, we would start to meet with families, people who would come and would meet with coffee and lunch and dinner with us and just get to know their story. And we heard over and over, it was actually overwhelming, to be honest. It was completely overwhelming. I mean, all we heard, it wasn't like we heard all these three different things. We heard one thing over and over and over. Pastor, we're so glad you're starting the church. We're lonely. We have no friends. We just know a family. We left family to come here, and now we're struggling to get connected at all. And I've had people ask me, Jason, what's the biggest challenge from where you were to where you are now? I'll tell you what it is moving to this city is it's the pace of life. The pace of life's like, and you know what I found? People are kind. Hey, how you doing? Unless they're driving. They're not calm when they're driving. They get demon-possessed when they start driving. But hey, I'm not going to blame anybody because that little spirit jumps on me every once in a while. I'm like, yo, mama. You know, I mean, it gets on me every once in a while. Every once in a while. I'm getting a little better, all right? People are kind, but they're going so fast, no one slows down and makes friendships. No one slows down and starts trying to get connected. And I want to help change that. I want our church to be catalytic to changing that in our community. And I know we can be. It's so critically important. Listen, from the very beginning, God himself said this. Now watch this. Genesis chapter 1. God created the heavens and the earth, and he said it was good. Okay, good. And then he made the light to separate light from darkness. And he said, it is. Okay, we're catching on. We're getting there. He made the fish of the sea and the bird of the airs. And he said, this is? Then he made man. And when he made man, he said, this was? He said, this is very good. So men, look at your spouse next to you and say, baby, I'm very good. Like I've been trying to tell you this whole time. I'm not just good. I'm very good. So now look, now this is important. This is huge. Watch, because God, the creator of all good things, the Bible says every good and perfect gift comes from above, coming from the Father of lights. It's his goodness, the Bible says, that leads us to repentance. So everything he does is good. He creates all this good, 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 very good. Then he goes, but hold on. Something's not good. That's a big deal coming out of his mouth after everything he created. And here it is, Genesis 2. Then the Lord said, it is not good that man be alone. It's not good. It's not good. We don't want you to be alone. And so now we've talked about nationally. We've talked about, now let's zoom into the church. Zoom into church. There's really three phases, if you will, when it comes to church. At first, when church first starts, it's a gathering. It just is. You come for the first time, you hang out, it's a gathering. That's okay. That's where it starts. But if there's a church that really wants to do Matthew 28, going to all the world, make disciples, connect people in relationships so they can build disciples, then slowly it goes from a gathering to a family. That's when you got a church is going well. It becomes like another family. It's like it doesn't replace your blood family. That's not what I'm saying, but it's like a family away from family. You meet some friends, you get connected to some great people, and that's awesome. I won't really get into the next one, but there actually is another step, by the way, when you go from gathering to family, and then it turns into you actually become an army and start making a massive impact, just taking over for Jesus in a community and all that. But I want to rest today and talk about us as a church and family, because maybe some of you are here and you're caught somewhere in between that gathering and family. You're not quite there. You're part of the gathering, but you want to get part of the family and you're not quite there. I want to talk a little bit about that. I want us to look into it. I'll just share a few things and a few observations from just our church. Again, doing a great job. People, a team doing a great job. But I want to make sure we keep our eye on the ball here. The last 3 years, we've seen God do some pretty cool things. we've seen just more people come to Christ. We've had to add services, as y'all know, and we had one overflow, then we empty out our entire office to have a second overflow, and people would come, and it's like, they're not going to keep coming, and they keep coming, and they bring their friends, and we've seen, since we moved into this building, we've seen over 1,000 people say yes to Jesus, and we've seen about 30 people this weekend already say yes to Jesus already. Come on, we ought to give the Lord a hand for that. Isn't that awesome? We have people getting connected in small groups. We have hundreds and hundreds of teenagers coming on a Wednesday night, even to the point that we're trying to make decisions like eventually, like, what are we going to do with all these teenagers who keep showing up? It's awesome. We're taking care of our kids, man. I think we've had somewhere around 374,000 baby dedications because y'all keep having children around here. I mean, that's a joke, obviously, but we have all these great things that are going on. It's awesome, but that's produced something that I have personally never seen in any church I've been involved in, and it's this. I did not know that you actually have to have a strategy to come to church. I never knew, like, Dad needed to, like, get a whiteboard out and be like, all right, listen, we're leaving at 10:47, all right? If we don't leave at 10:47, then it's going to go down, all right? Leave at 10:47. We're going to get there. We're going to drop Mama off. And now Mama's going to go in and she's going to run in here and she's going to save 3 seats. Okay? And then the kids, you know, they're 5. They can check themselves in. All right? They can just run upstairs. And I'm going to park real quick. Then I'm going to run real quick. We're going to make sure the spot's right there. Then we're going to grab some coffee. All right? After. And I'm going to get coffee and you box the people out as they're trying to get by the seat. And if somebody gets in the way, you just drop kick them. We'll ask for forgiveness later. All right, we're going to sit down there. We'll watch service. As the service gets to end, Pastor Jay is going to say amen. When he gets A, not men, when he gets A out, we're going to jump up. We're going to run out the door. We're going to get the kids. And we're going to get home. And then we're going to take a nap. And we went to church. Come on, be honest. How many of y'all have a strategy? How many of you have a strategy? See, I told you. You have a strategy. I never knew you had a strategy, all right? How you going to get in and out of this place, you know? It's like we in rodeo season. I rode my boots just for that, all right? What's the thing called with the calf? What's it called? The lasso. You know what I'm saying? That's what it is. It's like, we got to go to church Sunday. Get the coffee. Church is over. See y'all next Sunday, right? No, it's like, and there's an excitement, right? I mean, there's a fun and there's an excitement of being part of something that God's doing. It's electric. It's fun. It'll sweep you up in it. There's another side of that coin, though, that we do a pretty good job with. But, man, I want to just hit it head on. Is you can run in, hurry up and get to church, get out, and you never get out the gathering mode. You never get out of the crowd. You never get to know anybody. And we don't want that. Because God sets the lonely in family, not in a crowd. So I want to take, and I want to now drill down. Again, I'm going to show you the scripture that supports this, but I'm going to get real practical with it for a moment. And I want to encourage all of us, impress all of us, 3 different areas. First, I want to just talk about how do we as a church, this is really a family talk, our church talk. How do we as a church intentionally facilitate you making friends? How do we do that? Second thing that I'm going to talk about, how do you build friendships? Now, how do you do it, okay? So it's not just on us. Now, what's my responsibility? What's my role? What's my part? And the third one is if you have a bunch of friendships, I want to just encourage you and show, how do you make room at the table? Make room at the table for somebody else to come and be along that now it took you forever to not be in anymore. How do you help somebody else not get in that spot as well? Now, you might be here and you'd be like, Pastor, I'm glad you're talking about all this stuff. But you know what? I like coming and I like to sit. Hey, I came from this situation or that situation and we just want to sit for a little while. By the way, cool. If you want to just sit for a little while, that's fine. But if it's been 12 years, can I be your pastor and be like, all right, it's time to get connected here. And because I know everybody's different here. Like, we have our extroverts. They don't have any problem. Where's my extroverts in the house? Where's my extroverts? Okay. All right. And then we have where's our introverts? Okay. About 2/3 of you didn't raise your hand because you're an introvert and you don't want anyone to know. I always love that. Cause where's my extroverts? Oh, yeah. Where's my introverts? Let's see if anybody else is raising their hand. No, okay. All right. Cool. All right. First one. What do we do as a church to help facilitate? Again, this is a home talk. If you're a guest here, I'm glad you're here because you're seeing what we're all about, we're doing. How do we facilitate making friends? We do it through our serving in small groups. That's our two primary ways, through serving and through small groups. Acts 2:42, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayer. Serving is one of the big ways. If I want to serve, how do we do that? We have the first Sunday and second Sunday of every month. You want to get connected? One of the best ways to get connected, the first Sunday and second Sunday of the month, you sign up for Next Steps. The first Sunday, we'll talk about our membership. We'll talk about who we are, what we believe in, so that you know what you're getting into. The second one is we talk about how you can serve. Be a part of, we call it the dream team, our serve team. How can you jump in? And what typically happens here, someone begins to start serving. Within 4 weeks, you can be serving somewhere. The one that goes a little bit longer would be like the kids or anything that's a minor, because we have to do background checks and all that stuff to make sure we keep everyone safe, right, and trained well. And so maybe now you start to serve with somebody and you start to, hey, as you're serving, hey, man, what's your name? And you start connecting with others. You know what I've learned? I've learned this, that intimacy or getting close to someone doesn't come by saying, let's get close. It comes by shared purpose. You do something together and it helps bring, that's why the people that you're closest to, if you're new from out of town and you start, you know who you're closest to? The people you work with and the same ballpark that you go in, the same field that your kids play sports with. And that's the people you begin to know. Why? Because there's shared purpose there. Also, the other one is small groups. Pastor, you're always talking about small groups. When are you going to stop talking about small groups? When all y'all get in one? Nah, and even when you don't, we're going to talk about it. Why? Because we want people to get connected. We want people to have friendships. It's not about small groups. It's about friendships and relationships. Well, Pastor, what if I go to that small group and they're weird? They're not going to be, because we trained them not to be weird. Okay? We did. But if somehow somebody got through the cracks and they said, no, we're going to do this. We're going to, go, guess what? It's not a blood covenant. Go to another one. Well, what if I go to that one and they're weird? Not going to happen. But what if I go to a third and a fourth and they're all weird? You're weird. I'm sorry. You could start a small group for weird people and then we'll send them all to you. That was wrong. My wife's not here, so I could say that. So she would have looked at Jason, don't. So anyway, but I'm just joking mainly. All right, so. No, man, once you get connected, I can't tell you. I could show you video after video after video. Man, Pastor, you keep on about small group. We joined a small group, Pastor. And now I met my best friends. We truly, truly believe in that. That's what we do to help facilitate. We try to make it as easy as we can for you. We don't want it to be. It's already hard. You already feel like you got to walk across the gym. Let us help you. The second thing is this. How do we build friendships? Now, this is interesting because often when I say, hey, you need these kind of friends and you need people and you need this, and you need this. We often think, Steph, I do need that. When's somebody going to do that for me? But guess what? That's not even what the Bible says. Proverbs 18:24. You know, it says this. A man who wants friends must first show themselves friendly. So it doesn't start with what comes to me. It starts with, I need to be friendly. It comes from me to others. Some people think, Pastor, I don't have any friends, and I don't know why. Anyway, all right, so let me give you three ways to help make friendships. It's real simple. It's not easy, but it's simple. You follow what I'm saying? It's not easy, but it's simple. Let me just give you three. Number one, put yourself in a position to meet people. Jump on Next Steps. Do some of the things that we've already set for you. Everybody already knows what's going on. People already know you're going to show up, and they may or may not know who you are. Put yourself in a position. Even when we do the Next Steps, by the way, it's a class, but you sit around a table with other people. Kingdom Wyndham Connect, you sit around a table. Almost anything we do, we try to set up with tables. This is one of the few things that we do that's rows. Because why? We want you to connect with people. Put yourself in a position to connect people. The second thing is this. Now, this is a risk. Here it is. invite somebody to do something. Pastor, who do you think I am? That's crazy. I get it. But somebody has to push through that awkward zone to try to say, hey, man, well, what if I try to hang out with somebody and they don't want to hang out? Cool. There's a whole lot more here than just one. What if we go to hang out and it's kind of tough? It's all right. It may happen. It probably will happen at some point. Try to connect with somebody else. That's why serving in small groups are good, because you're already kind of in a group environment where you meet with people. You're like, that's pretty cool. This would be pretty cool. Hey, you said something about liking golf. Man, I do too, man. I had nobody to play with since, man, you want to go play? Or hey, you want to do it? You invite. Well, Pastor, what if they come and we can't figure out anything to talk about? Cool. You ain't got to invite them again. Say it was fun. It's great. See you in heaven, you know? Because we ain't hanging out no more. It's okay. It's all right. It's all right. Okay? Take some pressure off, okay? And here's the third one. Be a good friend. Be a good friend. You know what the Bible says? We reap what we sow. And if you're sowing things that aren't friendly, don't be upset when you can't find a friend. Now, I did something this week. I went on Facebook, which that's half the problem right there. I went on Facebook and I put in a question. And I just put a simple question. I said, what makes someone a good friend? And I have to just tell y'all, from the bottom of my heart, I love y'all. And I'm so grateful that y'all love me, because I have more people worried about me when I put that out there. I did. I put out there, you know, what makes someone a good friend? And somebody was like, oh man, Pastor must be hurting. I had people call me. I had people text me. I had people private message me. Pastor, you all right? Listen, if you need a friend, I'll have a coffee with you. Just process with me. You know, this really happened, you know? And people call, you all right, man? You good? I'm like, actually, yes, I'm great. I'm sorry. I just wanted it for this message. This is the reason I asked for it, okay? This had over 100 comments, all right? And this is basically what I would say. I summarized the whole thing. This is what people are saying, what I need in a friend. They say, I need someone that I can trust. What do you find in a friend? Someone you can trust. Another one that said, someone you can talk to and not be judged. That's a good one right there. That's a good one. Because you need somebody that's like, okay, this ain't going to sound very good when I say it, but I'm trying to process something. Can you help me figure this out? Third thing, someone that makes themselves available whenever you need it. You know what the problem with people is? It's, you know when they need you? When they need you. You can't say, hey, man, listen, if you can need me Thursday at 3:00, then I'm good. You know when they need you? When they need you. It can make it challenging. They said, someone that'll be honest with you. I saw over and over in there that said, someone that'll tell me what I need to know, not what I want to know. Now, let me press back for a second. If you say that, then you got to be able to do that. Okay? I know a lot of people who act kind of tough, and they say, I need somebody to tell it to me straight. Then you tell it to them straight, and they're like, oh, my feelings are hurt. It's all right. I did a whole message on that last week. Go listen to that, then come on back, all right? It's like, no. If you ask for it, be ready for it, okay? Now watch this. Okay, so this is what we just saw. Okay, so someone that's a good friend is someone I can trust, someone that'll listen to me and not judge me. It's someone that'll be there for me. It is someone to speak truth to me. They're my ride or die. That's awesome. That's what I need. Well, let me flip that around. What we see in Scripture says, if you want that, be that. Be that. Be those things to help build friendships. And the final one is this. First thing, how do we facilitate? We're about serving small groups. How do we build friendships? And put yourself in a position to meet people. Invite, take the risk, and then be a good friend yourself. And the final thing is this. I want to encourage those who maybe have a bunch of friends. Would you do the kingdom of God a favor? Would you do what God's called as a faith? Would you leave a chair open for someone new? Well, Pastor, I got all my friendship needs met. That's awesome. But would you pull another chair out and put it there for someone else? Would you do that? Listen, I get it, and I've learned something. You find the true test of someone's heart is not when they don't have anything, it's when they have abundance of what they need. You want someone's heart to truly be tested, it's not the guy that has no money that's heart's being tested, it's the guy who has a bunch of money, that their heart, you find out what's really in their heart in that moment. For the person that has an abundance, what they do now, oh, I finally have all of my needs met. What you gonna do with those needs? What you gonna do with that? What's going on in your heart there? I need to be careful because there is a scarcity mentality and abundant mentality. A scarcity mentality says, whew, I finally have all the friends I need. I gotta keep them close. Nobody can get in. If anyone gets in, then it will lose. This is terrible. Abundant mentality says, no. I know what it felt like to not be in, so let me open the door so more can be in. The Bible actually has something to say about that as well. It says in Matthew 13:12, whoever has will be given more, and they will have abundance. Whoever does not have, what they have will be taken from them. And so, make room at the table. That's what I'm saying as a church. Hey, as we continue to grow, we want to be a church that grows big, but also grows small at the same time. And this one, I'm going to use a football term for a second. Hey, with all the new people that keep coming to our church, all that, hey, keep your head on a swivel. You know what that means? Be aware. Hey, it's not that hard to see people who don't know. They try to play it cool. They come in. Now listen, don't 25 of you after service go run after somebody. You look alone. Don't do that, all right? We'll mess people up. I want to stay alone. You know, it'll be messed up. But hey, can we have a chair open? I'm so grateful for someone who left a chair open for me, that invited me in when I wasn't in. Can we make sure we're that? Can we be that forever? I think that's what Jesus would want. As I end this entire series, so this last part is wrapping up the entire series. Proverbs 18:24, where we've been talking about relationships, says, one who has unreliable friends soon comes to ruin. Watch this. But there is a friend that sticks closer than a brother. Let me tell you who that friend is. It's Jesus. See, I could talk about relationships for the next, we can do a 30-week series on relationships, and I could introduce you to people, and you could have a lot, you could be on every text thread in Houston, Texas. Of all these friends, you'll still be empty if you don't have the most important relationship, and that's a relationship with Jesus. I'm not talking about church, not talking about religion. I'm talking about, do you know Jesus? Have you surrendered your heart and your life? Have you given your life to Jesus? I'm not talking about a set of rules. I'm not talking about a set of being disciplined. I'm talking about, do you know Christ? The same one that we celebrated with the bread and the cup. Have you surrendered everything to God? If you haven't, I want to give you a chance to do that before you leave here today. Matter of fact, in just a second, I'm going to just simply ask this question. I'm going to say, if you've never surrendered your life to Christ, but you want to before you leave here today, I'm going to have everybody bow their head, close their eyes. I'm going to count to three. I'm going to say, 1, 2, 3. And I'm going to say, if you've never surrendered your life to Christ, but you want to today, just look up at me. When I get to three, I'm going to say, 3, look up to me. And I'll say, I see, and in different sections. And in that moment, I'm just going to pray for you. I'm not going to have you stand up, come to the front, nothing like that. You're not joining anything. Let me tell you what's up. You're surrendering to Jesus. And some of you are going to feel like 1,000,000 pounds come off your chest because you've forgiven. And the King of Kings of the Lord lives on the inside of your life.